rapidly drawn back in. When his form was uncovered, the previously vague image had a slightly increased clarity. Although it wasn't much, it was at least able to let me confirm that the human in question was really Martin Hallburn. Though in the moment after I was able to make this clarification, his smoke form seemed to simply vanish. I was just about to curse that he had used some defensive ability that blocked the world's spirits, but then I saw him appear on top of the tyrant's head. From what I could see in his face, he appeared unusually calm, as if the previous attack had caused no effect to him. He clenched his fists and delivered several punches to the back of the tyrant's head before jumping off, easily avoiding the spikes on the creature's back. A few moments later, the tyrant seemed ready to unleash another breath, when suddenly it coughed up some gray smoke, which landed neatly where the dried blood was found. The tyrant began swaying back and forth, its eyes suddenly unfocused, before it crashed down onto its side. The mad monk calmly walked up to its body and placed his hands on it. From there, the incense smoke seemed to explode outwards in all directions, obscuring the image for several long moments. When the smoke condensed again, it formed only the image of the monk, who had already begun walking away. The only difference was that he carried a small scroll in his hand now. Damn. So not only did he get off without so much as a scratch, but he stored the whole thing in a quest scroll? I shook my head in disappointment as I saw that. Thanks to that, there was basically nothing for me to gain from this. Before I left, I evened out the road once again to repair the damage their battle had caused, and then gave one last order to the world spirits. Show me the sky during the battle. Right now the sun was high above me, showing it to be midday. If I see the sky when they fought, I'll at least know how much time had passed. Or at least that was the plan. Before the smoke that had begun to dissipate moved up in uneven streams, creating countless small dots above me. Okay, so it happened sometime overnight. Does this guy not even rest? As I hopped back on the wagon, I once again sent it moving forward while I organized my thoughts. The tyrant's breath weakened him, and it didn't seem like he gained any strength after killing it. No matter what, he would have needed to rest shortly after fighting it. Furthermore, with how easily he was able to kill it, he should be near the apex level. But that movement technique, that wasn't a key step. The smoke would have still been able to follow that. I once again did an archive search, trying to find any records of how he did that move. Searching my memories like this took a toll on my mana and mental state. However, so I was not able to keep it up for long. The most that I could find was records of certain monsters who were able to move like that. But it was unknown how they did it, or at least I didn't know. I am fairly certain I would have recorded information about that, but yet it was nowhere to be found. Still, it could be assumed that he had figured out how to replicate that ability, which means he might have other abilities that those monsters possess. Thankfully, this didn't require a continued archive search, as I was able to recall the abilities fairly easily. The first was one that he had displayed in the fight, a physical strike with a delayed reaction. In the southern part of the Hanbi Kingdom, there was a species of monkey that was able to use that. The problem was narrowing down and identifying abilities that he might know, but hasn't used. After all, since we didn't know how they were done, it was impossible to tell just which abilities the monsters possessed that were related to it. Some were able to remotely control items that they touched. Others could create fireballs that had some resistance to magical shields. On the next day of my journey, I finally saw another traveler, or to be more precise, a patrol of guards. There were three of them, all dressed in leather armors. One carried a copper sword in his hand, another a wooden spear with a copper tip. The final one had a bow and a quiver of arrows at his side. Seeing what I was riding, the sword-wielding guard stepped up. "Halt," he called out to me, raising his hand to gesture me to stop. With a shrug, I commanded the wagon to slow to a stop in front of him. "What bring you down these roads, druid?" To save on time, I pulled out my badge to display it to him. "I'm hunting someone." He would have passed by within the last few hours. Half a day at most. Seeing the hunter's badge, the guard's face changed slightly. No longer as haughty as a guard usually was in his duty.
"I see."
May I ask what crime has this man done that would call for a hunter to chase him across a kingdom's border? I narrowed my eyes at his question. A hunter has no borders, no kingdoms. There is only me and the target. But, since you must know, he is a killer, a child killer. He takes them and tortures them, bleeding and burning, making them wish they were dead before the pain finally kills them. Hearing my words, the faces of the three guards began to pale slightly. No doubt at least one of them had children in the nearby town. Now I have evidence that he has traveled this road, and even slain a forest tyrant, on his own less than a day's travel behind me. There would have been nobody else walking this road today but him. So tell me, have you seen him or not? Two of the guards looked like they were considering their next words, when suddenly the archer spoke. There was a man, not 3 hours ago. We saw him up the road. He said he was coming to study in Brahmin. Asked us where, which cities would be good to find a school, and how to get there. The other two looked accusingly at the archer, who glared back at them. It seems like he was the one with family after all. Where did you direct him? I asked, interrupting their little stare-down. This time it was the swordsman who spoke. The only city nearby with a school is Jansen. It's a day and a half to the southwest, but it's easier to go by the roads. Once you get to the next city, there will be a road going directly south that takes you right there. I looked regretfully at the wagon. Did he take the road or go straight ahead? Ah, he took the road. The guard answered immediately. We told him that the unguarded lands were dangerous, and that it was best to stick to the roads. He thanked us and was on his way. Okay, that surprised me. I had expected them to tell me that he had immediately gone off the road to run straight towards Jansen. One glance towards the archer was enough to let me know that the guard had told the truth. At least this way, I could keep riding peacefully. Thanks. Hopefully I'll be able to catch up with him before he can do anything else. And thus, I left behind possibly the only people that had survived talking to the mad monk, without them ever knowing just how lucky they were. Chapter 4 On the way to the next city, I had encountered another three patrols, each the same size as the first. There would always be one archer, one spearman, and one swordsman among them, and each time they would stop and question me. Once they learned my purpose in being here, none of them seemed all too keen on delaying me. At the same time, I had managed to learn that the mad monk had indeed stayed on the road, rather than simply waiting until the first patrol was out of sight. This reassured me that I would finally be able to catch up to him, so long as there was a druid stationed in the next city. As for that, I was going to find out soon enough, as I could see the city's walls in the distance. Perhaps the forest tyrant had scared away the other monsters from the road in the disputed territory, but my journey was fairly smooth, making me glad that I wouldn't have to reimburse the guild for the loss of the wagon. Either way, once I approached the town, I could see one more group of guards standing watch at the gate. The archer was on the wall above, while the swordsmen and spearmen were stationed on either side of the gate itself. Due to the city being so close to the border, it was naturally built like a fortress, to withstand the attack of an army. The walls were dozens of meters high, enough that even a monk would have a hard time leaping over them. Along this side of the city there was only the single gate, though the lack of traffic made it seem more abandoned than normal. Once again, the guards at the gate questioned me briefly before letting me past, giving me directions to the local hunter's guild. Thanking them, I drove my wagon through the road slowly, doing my best not to run over anyone who might not be paying attention. At this point, I could afford the extra time, since it seemed like my target wouldn't be staying in this town long. After arriving at the hunter's guild, I immediately went around back to park the wagon, placing it among the several others that had been lined up along the wall. Next, I went inside, finding the interior to look almost the exact same as, well, every other hunter's guild. Would it really be so bad to change things now and again? I asked myself. moving to greet the receptionist. This one was a young, thin man. His hair was black, combed back neatly as he stood stiffly behind the desk. Given the way he was looking at me with a mix of fear and apprehension, I could guess that either he was new, or he didn't know very many patient hunters. "I'm here for the Mad Monk case," I told him, showing my badge. "You should have received word that I was arriving. My name is Theol."
Right, Hunter Theol. We received a message that you would be heading this way 2 days ago.
There is another group of hunters that will be arriving shortly from Jansen. We are just waiting on our druid to arrive to bring them in." The boy spoke nervously, which only made me give off a relieved sigh. "Well, at least he's already on his way. That'll save me some trouble," I said with a small smile. According to the guards I met on the road, the target is likely going to be heading towards Jansen, rather than stopping here. I'd like you to pass that information along, should any other hunters come by. Although sharing the bounty wasn't exactly my first choice, the Mad Monk's abilities made it clear that more people fighting him together would be beneficial.
I see.
He nodded his head quickly, grabbing out a quill and a few papers to write down that information. I need to make a report as well. I've learned some new information about the Mad Monk's fighting powers on the way here. When I said that, the receptionist seemed surprised, before hurriedly pushing the quill and papers to my side of the desk. Without wasting any time, I began writing about the fight between the Mad Monk and the Forest Tyrant, including all of the abilities he had displayed during it. Hopefully, as long as this information was left here, then even if him heading to Jansen was a lie, it would still allow whichever hunters were close to have better luck tracking him down. By the time I was done, a middle-aged woman had walked into the Hunters Guild. "You called for me, boy?" she asked, narrowing her eyes towards the receptionist.
Yes, mother,"
the boy said, lowering his eyes to the desk, before glancing over to me, as if pleading for help. I couldn't help chuckling when I saw this, glancing back towards the aged woman. "I need to get to Jansen immediately. I take it you are the druid with a gate that leads there?"
"That's right."
She nodded her head slightly.
"I can get you there."
As she said that, she led me towards one of the back rooms, where there was a large fountain.
"Jansen. That's the one to the south,"
she muttered to herself. When she extended her hand to the fountain, the water within it suddenly shot up, forming a circular portal. Through the portal, I could hear voices coming from the other side.
"Ah, about time. I was just about ready to drive up there myself if this took much longer,"
a deep male voice spoke out, followed by a feminine laugh.
Now, Mander, it's no use getting upset by merely this."
The feminine voice spoke up in response, and I could tell that they were moving closer towards the portal. Two-way traffic through portals was rather inconvenient, since the gates were so small, so I went up ahead and jumped through. With a splash, my feet landed in the water on the opposite side of the portal, after which it closed behind me. I could hear an annoyed groan coming from the male voice I had heard.
"Oh, great. Was that not ours?"
"Looks like it,"
the female voice said as I turned around.
"Either way, hello there. Mind telling us where you just came from?"
The woman was petite, hardly the frame of a fighter tasked with hunting down criminals. Her head barely came up to my chest. Yet her smile was bright as she asked her question.
"I never really got the name of the town."
I shook my head. "However, it should have been the one you two were heading towards. Figured that I would come through first, that way you didn't waste your time." The woman raised a curious eyebrow at that, but it was her male companion who spoke up.
"Waste our time? What you mean by that? Or did you already get his head?"
Whereas the female was short and petite, the man was practically a giant, standing a full head taller than me. His bulging muscles and scarred body, combined with his apparent personality, left me with no doubt that he was a berserker.
Now, Mander, give the man a chance to explain himself," the woman said, patting Mander on his side. "But first, do get out of the fountain."
I nodded my head at that, moving to walk out of the fountain and onto the dry stone floor. Communing with the spirits of the world made it a simpler matter to dry off my shoes, so it wasn't really uncomfortable once I was out of it. "My name is Theol.
I followed the mad monk into the country from the east, and heard several guards saying that he was heading towards this town.
"And you believed them?" Mander asked, a small sneer on his face.
"Considering that the reason he is heading this way is for the school, yes." When I said that, the faces of both hunters seemed to cramp up momentarily, before they nodded in understanding.
"Wait, Theol."
"Stormlancer, Theol?" the smaller woman suddenly spoke up, as if noticing something. What? I had absolutely no idea what she was talking about. Well, I kind of did, but I had never heard that nickname applied to me before.
"Yeah, in Brahman a lot of big-name hunters get their own nicknames, just like our targets do. With your appearance, you should be Stormlancer. Guess that means you won't be getting the live bounty." She nodded her head confidently as she said that, causing Mander to release a small groan. "We're Muse and Manic, and I guess we'll be joining you this time."
"I'm Mander, and she's Kali," the big man corrected, drawing a pouting expression from Kali.
"Hey, the guild branch gave us these nicknames, so why not use them?" she asked, turning to face her partner.
"Because this is the only kingdom that even does that, so why bother? Isn't it basically saying we're no better than our targets?" Mander asked, crossing his arms and looking down at Kali.
"Definitely not. Our names are cooler. I mean, just think, Muse and Manic. There could be legends about us one day." It seemed that she was rather unwilling to let this go.
"Or a bounty. Either way, it looks like we have to wait around for him to head this way."
Mander shook his head as he thought about that, which only made Kali sigh as well. "I don't suppose this guild branch has rooms for hunters? Depending on the size of the city the branch was in, they would sometimes have accommodations for traveling hunters, or those whose target was in the town. It was definitely easier than looking around for a tavern to stay for the night." Kali nodded her head, turning back to look at me.
"Yeah, 4 or 5 rooms on the upper floor. We got in last night, so we've been staying here until a druid could take us to Marin. Didn't expect we'd end up needing to stay longer."
"Well, that just means that we have time to get to know each other," I shrugged as I spoke. "The more we know, the less likely we are to accidentally get each other killed in the field. And personally, I'd prefer not dying, if at all possible. Although there was a basic education that hunters all needed to pass in order to earn their title, every hunter had their own specialties. For instance, Mander no doubt focused on being a berserker, while Muse sounded like the name of a bard. I shuddered slightly as I thought about that. Bards were by no means a weak class when they worked. However, it was one of the hardest classes to properly train for battle. At the lower levels, a bard would practice singing, dancing, and recording history. Yet once they became stronger, they found their calling in battle. A single bard who knew what they were doing could likely be considered the ultimate support class. Another nickname for their class, which the church wasn't overly fond of, was the Voice of the Goddess.
"Yeah, you got a point, I guess," Kali said, still slightly upset over the idea of their nicknames not being used. "Let's head up to the room, and we can talk. It'll be more comfortable than simply standing around here, and no sense clogging up traffic if someone else comes through."
Like that, she led us towards a set of stairs down the hall, which opened up to another hallway. A series of doors lined both sides of the hall, each one leading to an identical room. Kali simply stopped at the first door and ushered us both inside.
"Well, Mander and I have known each other a while, so I guess we can start. As you probably guessed from our nicknames, I'm a bard, and he's a berserker. Energy control doesn't really come easy to him, so I usually handle the investigation and tracking."
Kali shrugged as she sat on the bed while Mander leaned against a nearby wall.
"Still, he makes an excellent guard. Hardly anyone worries about attacking the frail little girl when he's charging at them."
Mander let out a light laugh at that, shaking his head, after which he turned towards me, silently waiting for me to begin my own introduction. With a nod, I began. "I'm guessing you already know a little bit about me, since apparently I have a nickname here with enough information to identify me. Still, my focus is as an elementalist and a warrior. I can cover close or mid-range and a team fight." Kali nodded in satisfaction as she listened to me talk.
"Hopefully, we'll get to see the famous Skybolt Lance soon." She smirked mischievously as she said that,
causing myself and Mander to groan in response. Chapter 5. After we discussed our plan, the three of us did not bother staying at the Hunters Guild. When we talked it over, there really was the chance that it would take the Mad Monk an entire day to reach Jansen. However, at the same time, there was the chance that he could arrive in the middle of the night. Either way, none of us wanted to conduct this battle inside of the city, where there were plenty of places he could hide. Instead, we left to the north of the city, walking until Jansen was no longer in sight, before setting up camp. The surrounding area was a flat plain, so even if he took a slight detour to avoid the road, we should still have the chance to spot him. It was just a matter of time and luck. Our camp was small, just a collection of three tents erected at the side of the road. From what Kali and Mander had said, most of the farmland around Jansen was to the south and west, making this the best place for a battle. "I'll take first watch," Mander said, as we all sat around the center of the camp, atop stone benches that we had created. Kali nodded with a smile while watching him stand up and move a bit further down the road, looking like he was just going for a walk. After he left, she turned to face me. "Are you sure that he won't find a druid to send him directly to the city?" she asked, concern evident in her voice. From our previous discussions, it was easy to figure out that Kali was the brains of their little duo, while Mander was there mostly to punch things. I shrugged my shoulders slightly at the question. "From everything we know, he's never done anything like that before. All of the deaths were spaced out long enough that it would have only made sense for him to manually walk or join a caravan between cities. Even then, he would have to have spent a couple of days inside the city before he actually got to work, likely to find a proper target." Kali's face darkened as she listened. "You've been after this guy for a while, haven't you?" I blinked slightly in surprise, but could only nod. "That's right. I was one of the first on the hunt. And if he ever stayed in one place long enough, I would have caught him by now, too. Out of all the hunters dispatched, I was easily the one closest to catching him so far. What about you two?" "Hmm? We just got the message to join the hunt a month ago, and most of that time was spent traveling to the region. Though I must say that I really do enjoy staying in this country." She had a knowing smile as she spoke, leaning back on the bench. "Would almost be worth it to set a gate here." I was just about to say something when she glanced at me and suddenly started laughing. "I'm just joking, Theol. I have no desire to get a price on my head. No, my place is elsewhere. It's not exactly like we can have a permanent residence in our line of work, after all." I nodded my head briefly. "Wherever the hunt takes us. But at least you aren't doing the job alone." Once again, she started laughing at my comment. "Yeah, like a bard could ever hunt solo. Mander and I cover each other's weaknesses pretty well." "Well, bards aren't entirely useless on their own," I said with a non-committal shrug. "One of my first targets was a bard. He was able to use his voice to hypnotize people, make them see him as a god. Was even in the process of making his own church when I got called in." "The false prophet?" Kali asked with some surprise. "I heard about that guy. Never really figured out how he did what he did, though. The most I can do offensively is lull an enemy to sleep. My voice is mostly to support others. Whenever I try to do something else with it, I just can't find my muse." She looked up to the sky as she spoke, a pensive expression on her face. For a bard, not being able to find inspiration was a fatal flaw, and also why there were so few specialists of the class. Whether it was singing or simply humming a tune, they had to completely give themselves over to their power and let it guide them. In exchange, they could make any warrior stronger, empower the magic of any mage, even make an archer's arrows fly true. And unlike the support magic of a mage, a bard's power applied to every ally that could hear their voice, letting them turn the tide of an entire battle. That's not a bad thing. If nothing else, it ensures that you won't be able to use your voice for wicked deeds, I said with a slight nod, glancing to the direction that Mander left. That's true, I guess. After saying that, she looked back over to me, a slight grin playing on her lips. So what do you suppose we should do while we wait for Mander to come back? She asked playfully, leaning forward with her hands in her lap. From her posture, and more importantly her tone, I could tell what she really wanted to know. Hence, I could only let out a sigh. "Can't you take this more seriously? Our target could arrive at any time, and you're more interested in having sex?" "Hey, I am taking this seriously," she said, giggling slightly. "I can't help it that I'd like to take my mind off of things before a battle. It helps me stay calm." Her grin only grew wider as she looked me over, only to let out a sigh when she realized that I wasn't going to give in and play with her. "Fine, I'll be good," she huffed slightly, crossing her arms in front of her. I chuckled, shaking my head. A moment later, both Kali and I shot to our feet, our eyes looking to the north. By now, Mander was already beyond the horizon, so there was no way that we could see him. However, a ball of white light had been shot high into the air, a typical sign of distress. "Mander!" Kali called out, anxiously, her feet kicking at the ground. The tents around us burst apart as we explosively began running up the road. Even I knew that Mander wouldn't easily send out that distress signal. Given that he hadn't been gone long, there were only two options. Either he met a monster along the road that he couldn't deal with, or he met a real monster. With both of us using our full speed and not worrying about our key expenditure, it took us less than a minute to arrive at the spot where Mander had sent out the light. When we arrived, we found blood scattered along the ground, with Mander lying against a rock on the side of the road. His hunter badge was still clutched tightly in his hands, but the life had long since left his eyes. Along his sides were two deep cuts, followed by a third across his neck, the blood still flowing from it. "Mander!" Kali screamed as she saw him, running up and cradling his body in her smaller arms. I could see the tears streaking down her face already as she buried her head in his shoulder and began to sob. My eyes, meanwhile, were scanning the horizon. There had been very little time to flee after Mander sent the signal, and he had clearly not been dead at that time. Channeling what ki remained into my eyes, I enhanced my sight enough to catch a figure flashing in and out of existence in the distance. Contrary to my expectations, the figure was not that of the slim-bodied man that I associated with the mad monk, but a seemingly elderly woman carrying a large pack on her back. Her body was slumped over slightly, her hair almost completely gray. Nevertheless, with the movement technique that she was showing, there was really only one possibility. "He learned body morphing, too?" I couldn't help but call out in surprise. There was a technique which allowed you to maneuver your ki to alter your physical appearance, but it was an incredibly rare one due to its advanced requirements. I myself was not specialized enough as a monk to take care of it, but with the mad monk's ability, as well as his identity as a scholar of Hanbai, it made sense that he was able to practice it. Hanbai was also known as the birthplace of monks, after all. Unfortunately, I was in no position to give chase, at the moment. Both Kali and myself had depleted the majority of our ki, simply getting here, so I did not have enough left to chase after him, whereas he likely had plenty to run for as long as he wanted. I could only curse under my breath and turn back towards Mander's body. Kali was still bent over him, her tears soaking his shoulder. It was obvious that the two of them were quite close if she was mourning him like this. I walked over to her and placed my hand on her shoulder. Her body jerked at the sudden touch, while she slowly brought her head up to look at me.
He's...
She tried to speak, her voice breaking with every word. I nodded my head, gently pulling her back. "I know. Let's do what we can for him and make sure you have your chance to say goodbye before her angels come for him." Her eyes widened slightly at my words, but she seemed too weak to resist me right now.
Okay.
She stood up next to me, her legs shaking as tears continued to stream down her face.
Could you?
I nodded once again, knowing that she was in no position to do the ceremony. Briefly closing my eyes, I focused my mana through them, allowing me to see spirits. When my eyes opened, I saw Mander standing above his corpse, looking sadly down at Kali.
"Well, this really isn't what I thought would happen," he said,
his voice appearing more in my mind than my ears. Forming a layer of manna over my mouth, I spoke in response. "What happened? You shouldn't have been taken out that fast, even if he caught you by surprise." Hearing me talk, Kali quickly seemed to understand, her eyes glowing slightly as she also started to look up at him. Her sadness appeared to lessen as she was able to see him.
I'm sorry, Mander. I should have been here.
It was clear that he couldn't hear her, though he saw her mouth moving. This is why Kali asked me to do this. If she made a mistake talking here, she might damage his spirit.
Don't fret, Kali. It was just my time, I guess. Afterwards, he turned to face me. He masked himself really well. Didn't even think it was him until I noticed his key. As soon as I decided to attack him, he vanished. I saw a strange energy coming off of him, something I've never seen. Before I knew it, he had used his hand to cut open my sides without breaking his disguise. So I called for help, wanting to keep an eye on him until you guys arrived, but that damn vanishing move. He just appeared in front of me with his hands at my throat.
Mander shuddered slightly as he recalled that, glancing down to his body.
"It's not your fault, Mander,"
Kali spoke under her breath, before turning to look at me. Her eyes were still wet, but her fists were clenched tightly.
What now?
I could only look at Mander for that answer. Do you have any requests for burial? The standard policy set by the guild was to burn a hunter's body if their spirit was not around, but if so, to respect the hunter's wishes. Mander nodded his head with a serious expression, crouching down to be eye level with Kali.
Hey, Kali.
At first she didn't respond, so he waved his hand in front of her face to get her attention.
Mind taking me back home? You should know the place, right?
Kali nodded her head, the sorrow slowly returning to her features.
I'll do it, Mander. After we kill that man, I'll take you back home. Just don't do anything stupid until the angels come, okay? I want to be able to see you again on the other side.
Mander still obviously couldn't hear her, but seemed to have an understanding of what she was saying.
I'll be fine, kid.
Already I could see the glow in her eyes starting to dissipate, likely meaning that Kali was running low on manna. I can't say I knew you for long, Mander, but you seemed like a fine hunter. Mander nodded his head, standing back up to look at me.
You take care of her, all right? He motioned his head towards Kali. She can't do this job on her own, but it's all she's got.
I gave a simple nod of understanding while I watched Kali take Mander's body into a quest scroll. Once she had it in her hands, she clutched it close to her chest. Her voice was quiet as she spoke.
Goodbye, Mander. Wait for me.
Chapter 6.
After we left the scene of the previous battle, Kali and I gathered our tents that had been knocked aside when we rushed out to help Mander. At first, she seemed to have some difficulty forcing herself to gather up Mander's belongings. However, after I attempted to help her, she shook her head and insisted that she do it herself. From there, we decided to head back towards the Hunter's Guild. Right now, there was no certainty that the Mad Monk would still be targeting this city, so we had to perform another tracking. More importantly, there was something else that I needed to take care of.
Are you able to keep hunting? I asked Kali, as we were walking back towards the town.
With our energy low, we weren't able to rush as we had before, so this was the best time for us to talk.
What do you mean?
Kali looked over to me after my question, and I thought I saw a bit of fear in her eyes.
You know what I mean. Something like this can ruin a bard. I need to know that you will be able to still hunt if we meet him again.
There had been several bards who had completely lost their ability to find their inspiration after suffering a mental trauma, after all.
I can do it. Please, let me do this.
She held the quest scroll with Mander's body close to her chest as she pleaded, I won't hold you back.
I could only sigh, nodding my head slightly. All right, but if you can't sing later, I'll need to leave you in town while I hunt. I can't have you getting killed because you lost your powers.
Her eyes widened slightly at that.
No,
I'll sing. Don't leave me behind.
One of her small hands reached out to grab the end of my sleeve, as if worried that I might disappear at any moment.
Looks like she was hit pretty hard.
I glanced towards her desperate expression, shaking my head.
Just don't get yourself killed.
Kali meekly nodded her head when she heard that, choosing to silently follow along next to me until we reached the Hunters Guild. When we arrived, I had her wait in the reception area while I went back to conduct the tracking. By the time I returned, I found Kali sitting on a stone bench along the wall of the lobby. In her hands was a clay cup filled with tea. Judging by the steam still billowing upward slowly, it had only recently been brewed. I gave a nod to the female receptionist, who simply returned it with an understanding smile, as I approached Kali.
He's on the move, it looks like.
Kali's body jerked when she heard my voice, and she gradually looked up at me. Her eyes, at first vacant and lost, slowly became more determined as she processed what I said.
Where?
The tracking is pointing further west. My best guess is that he's slowly making his way to the coast, and plans to hide out in Rockendrol, now that he knows we're on his trail. I shrugged my shoulders as I made the guess. There wasn't much to back up the claim, but if it were me, that would be the best place to hide. She gave a brief nod, setting the steaming cup down next to her.
When are we leaving?
Her voice was eerily calm, as if something inside of her had died with Mander. Hopefully it wouldn't stop her once a fight broke out. The next city is only a few hours' ride from here, so it would be faster to go by wagon than to wait for a gate. I purposely said that part louder, glancing to the receptionist. She gave another nod of her head and moved to walk out of the room to prepare a wagon. Looking back to Kali, I saw her staring up at me.
I won't hold you back, Theol, she said once again, though I felt like she was more saying it for her own sake.
Good. I'll be making sure of that before we get to our next stop. Her eyes suddenly had a worried look to them when she heard that. I need to know that you haven't lost your song. If you can still use your abilities, I'll have no problem keeping you with me. Honestly, that wasn't exactly true. I was tempted to make her go back home and retire, now that her partner was dead. However, there were two reasons why I chose not to do such. First and foremost, her mental state. If I attempted to abandon her here and send her back home, I did not doubt that she would simply follow me on her own, no matter how I tried to stop her. The second reason was that I was not entirely confident in my own abilities to take out the mad monk, after seeing how quickly he was able to dispatch with Mander. As an experienced hunter, I knew that his level should have been near the pinnacle, if not already at it, and yet he was killed as soon as he was able to act. My abilities might be different from his, but I still wasn't sure I'd be able to handle the mad monk's mysterious speed and strength. However, if I add in the boost from Kali, that concern lessens considerably. A bard's song would be able to turn the tide of our battle, as long as she was able to do her job. If she truly couldn't sing, though, I would have no choice but to leave her behind, for her safety as well as my own. Kali nodded weakly when she heard my condition, and closed her eyes. She didn't open them again until the receptionist had returned, letting us know that a wagon had been prepared. Even then, she only kept her eyes open long enough to climb onto the wagon with me, before closing them again.
"Would you mind driving?" she softly asked as I sat down. "I want to focus."
I nodded my head slightly, and the wagon began moving beneath us. It was clear that she wanted to do everything she could to clear her mind and make sure that she was able to do what she needed to do. Right now, the pressure must have been heavy for her, knowing that whether or not she could sing would determine whether she would be able to help get revenge for her partner. Like that, the two of us left through the western gate, moving off towards Halen. Even at a generous estimate, it would take a couple of weeks to make it all the way to the coast, unless we got lucky with the gates. Given that we'd have to stop at each city to repeat the tracking on the mad monk, we couldn't simply rush straight ahead to Rockendrol. While moving along the road, I kept my eyes peeled for any monsters lurking in the distance. This time it wasn't so that I could avoid them, but rather so that I could purposely encounter them.
After all, it would be much safer to test Kali's abilities with a monster partner rather than someone who could intentionally target her. Unfortunately, it seemed that the public safety of this area was fairly decent, so there weren't any powerful monsters between the two cities. Instead, I had to take the wagon off of the road for a short distance. Finally, I was able to find something that would suit my needs. A large, horse-like creature with two curved horns atop its head. We called it the Bikorn, and it was known for wielding lightning and ice magic. Its size was a full 3 meters tall, and its fur was a dark blue. They were known to be fairly docile, unless provoked, so it was no surprise that one of them managed to be left alive this close to the cities. "There we go," I said with a smile, hopping up off the wagon. Kali finally opened her eyes, having kept them closed this entire time to focus. "We're fighting that?" she asked, confused. "Couldn't you defeat one of those on your own, without needing my help?" I nodded my head slightly, not disagreeing with her assessment. "I could, but that's the point. If you can't sing, then I still need to at least be able to protect myself. I won't be as arrogant as to challenge a monster that is too strong for me alone just to wind up dead if you can't do your part." She flinched slightly when she heard my words, but I continued. "Now, at first, I will only draw its attention and avoid receiving damage. I'll give you 5 minutes to start singing before I kill it. If you can't manage it in that time, then there is no way you'd be able to survive a real battle." She nodded her head meekly when she heard that, but wasn't able to argue. After all, the entire battle between the Mad Monk and Mander hadn't even lasted that long. If she really wasn't able to use her power within 5 minutes, then she might as well not even be in the fight in the first place. "I'll do it." "Good. Let's take care of this first," I said, as I pulled out my badge, causing a wall of stone to surround the wagon. "Don't want a stray bolt wrecking it, after all." Kali nodded her head again, and then followed me as we proceeded towards the Bikorn. She stopped roughly 20 meters away while I moved until I was only 10 away from it. I glanced back at her and nodded, before turning towards the Bikorn in front of me. "Spark," I called out, casting a low-level lightning spell. As the formation for the magic formed in my mind, a strand of lightning arced out from my hand, snapping against the Bikorn. I knew that they had resistance to lightning, so this was the easiest way to get its attention without actually damaging it. And sure enough, the previously grazing beast lifted its head up as soon as the spark struck it. At first, I wasn't sure if it was going to take the bait, but the lower of its two horns began glowing, another bolt of lightning, quite a bit thicker than the one I had shot out, launched itself at me. Given that I was anticipating an attack like that, it wasn't hard for me to jump away with the help of my key. "Come on, you big beast, let's see if you can keep up with me," I taunted, firing another spark spell at its head. Naturally, it wasn't capable of understanding my words, but the spell was more than enough to keep its attention focused on me. Looking back, I was able to see that Kali had once again closed her eyes. Her hands were pressed over her petite chest as she took several deep breaths. Part of me considered taking one of this monster's attacks on purpose in order to stimulate her, but that was nothing more than a foolish idea. The seconds ticked by as I continued running circles around the Bikorn, the two of us firing streams of lightning at each other. By now, the bar of life had appeared above its head, showing that I had done a little bit of true damage to it. On the other hand, I had managed to avoid all of its attacks, leaving my own health bar invisible. A faint hum gradually entered my ears as I was engaging with the Bikorn, causing a smile to form on my lips. It wasn't a song, but it was good enough for now. Even a bard's humming was able to bring about an effect, as long as it was from the heart. And looking back at how a faint golden light was being emitted from Kali's body, and how my mana and ki were slowly filling back up, it seemed that she hadn't lost all of her powers after all. "Good," I said quietly, getting ready to seriously end this with the next spell. However, I paused briefly when a small voice came from behind me. "I will fight." The voice was undoubtedly Kali's, and when I looked back I could see her eyes opened,
Her normally blue pupils, a glowing gold.
Chapter 7. Hearing her resolution stunned me briefly, allowing one of the bolts from the bicorn to catch my feet. For the first time in the fight, my bar of life appeared. However, that fact was overshadowed by what Kali did next. Bards were known as the most pure support class, with basically no fighting potential on their own. That was because they had to completely focus on their music, and were generally unable to even protect themselves should an enemy attack. Yet Kali kicked off the ground, her eyes still golden, and ran towards the bicorn as it charged towards me. Her hands pulled a pair of copper daggers from behind her back, holding them in a reverse grip. All the while I could still hear the faint hum of her song. The rhythm was in time with her steps, rising and falling with every breath. Before the bicorn was able to reach me, she had already appeared next to it. As if her actions did not faze her in the slightest, she swung her daggers at the beast's hide, causing two thin gashes. Blood flowed down the flank of the bicorn as it turned and ran a short distance to face Kali. Only now did it seem to register her presence, and given that her one attack had done more damage than my little spells, it was purely focused on her now. Meanwhile, I was still staring at the small figure of Kali, finding it difficult to believe that a bard had been able to actively engage in battle without breaking their focus. However, soon a message appeared in front of me. It seemed to explain away my confusions, yet raised entirely new questions. You are under the effects of Kali's battle melody. Mana, ki, and stamina all recover slightly. I knew that bards were able to name their music under certain conditions, and those with named pieces were generally able to access them far more easily than normal bards. Yet even still, there had never been a bard that could fight while performing, to my knowledge. However, the evidence before me was undeniable, as she once again charged towards the bicorn. This time it wasn't just going to let her approach as she wished. The upper horn on its head began glowing, and a blue beam of freezing energy was shot out. Its target was not Kali, but the ground in front of her. Should she carelessly run over it, there was no doubt that she would lose her footing. At least that would be the case with a normal opponent. Even if she was a bard, Kali was first and foremost a hunter. Before her feet even touched the ground, the frozen dirt beneath her had thawed. Looking at her feet, I could see a faint flame wrapped around her shoes. The flame lasted for only a few moments, until she had crossed the frozen area, before it vanished. By that point, she was directly in front of the bicorn, crouched down, and prepared to deliver a killing blow. Maybe because it sensed the threat to its life, the creature reared back on its hind legs, kicking out at her with its front hooves. At the same time, the lower horn once again lit up, creating a field of lightning that covered its body. Kali let out a slight scream as the lightning struck her body, catching her by surprise and throwing her back to the ground. Finally, the golden light in her eyes faded, and she looked up in shock at the beast that was about to trample her. "You pass," I called out, aiming a hand towards Kali. The ground beneath her shifted, slinging her away from the bicorn. Its hooves slammed against the empty ground, and it looked left and right to find out where she was taken. "Over here," I said with a smile, standing between it and Kali. Three glowing blue diagrams appeared beneath my feet. With every sentence I spoke, another one lit up. "I command you by the hunter's decree, arise the flames of sorrow. Let fly your wrath and aim true. Devour the beast before me and erase it from the earth." With the third circle lit, flames began to rise up from the ground around me, condensing into a ball in front of me. The ball was no bigger than my fist, but only a fool would doubt its power. With a thought, it shot forward, becoming a line of fire that instantly arrived at the head of the bicorn. There was no great explosion, no shattering boom. The bar of life above the bicorn's head silently emptied in an instant, and its entire body lit up in flames. Turning around, I let out a small sigh when I saw that Kali was all right, though she seemed upset more than anything. "I failed," she said, under her breath. "I wasn't able to fight. "What? Did you really get kicked in the head or something?" I asked, reaching down and picking her up by the arm, pulling her to a standing position. "Didn't you hear me say that you passed?" She lifted her head up to look at me, confusion evident in her gaze. "But I lost." "Yeah, you did. And if I weren't here, you'd be dead." I agreed with her completely, nodding my head. "But you're a bard. Even a high-level bard could be killed by a monster weaker than them if caught alone. On the other hand, this should be the first time you used that song, right?" She nodded her head faintly when I asked that, so I continued. "That was your first time, but you were allowed to name it. Not only that, but it is a song that helps your friends while allowing you to fight at the same time. I'm sure you know the value of a named song more than me." Her eyes opened a bit more widely as I said that. I can really join you?" She still seemed to be in a daze as she asked again, a light of hope finally shining within her eyes. "At least until the end of this hunt," I said with a nod. "After that, it'll be up to your performance." In truth, the fact that she was able to move around while singing was itself enough reason to keep her with me. Even if the song did not have an amazing effect on its own, she was able to defend herself while singing. While that might have little value in fighting monsters, as they would mostly target the attackers anyway, it was of utmost importance when fighting people. With her ability demonstrated, we began dismantling what remained of the bicorn. Unfortunately, my spell had destroyed its core and charred its meat, so the only thing of real value was its horns. Maybe I can get a decent deal selling this to an enchanter? Once on the road again, we were quickly able to arrive at the next city. However, our stay was brief. Another tracking at the local hunter's guild told us that the mad monk had once again left the city before we arrived, continuing his journey towards the coast. Thankfully, Kali was in good enough shape to drive the wagon herself from that point, and had insisted on doing so in order to make herself useful. The sun had already begun to rise the next day before we found the next city, and as before, we had conducted a tracking as soon as we arrived. This time again, we found that he had already left to continue his journey to the west. The only bright side that could be found in all of this was that the answer from the spirits of the world was stronger, indicating that we were getting closer. As for moving to the next town, we decided to wait for a druid that could send us there directly. Unlike before, our next destination was over a day's ride away, so it would be faster to travel by gate. Instead, we chose to spend the night in the Hunter's Guild. Happy to finally be able to sleep in a bed again, it was fairly easy for me to doze off at first, until I heard a light knocking at the door. "Theo, are you in there?" Kali's voice called out, her tone a bit hesitant. "Yes," I answered simply, keeping my eyes closed. "This isn't going where I think it is it?"
"Could I come in?"
"Yes." Again, a simple answer for a simple question. I heard the door creak open, before shutting behind her. Her light steps led her over to my bed, where she slid her body up next to mine.
"Can I just stay like this for a while?"
she asked, though I had the feeling she wasn't going to be willing to move, even if I said no. While we were journeying together, she had done her best to keep close to me the entire time, so this wasn't exactly unexpected. "Do whatever you want," I said with a sigh, shaking my head lightly. I felt her hands clasping onto the back of my jacket, and her breathing slowly began to calm down into a gentle rhythm. Forcing her out of the bed would not have been a problem at all. I doubted she weighed even a tenth of me, given her specialty as a bard. However, I decided to just put up with it, as this wasn't exactly an inconvenience. I simply closed my eyes and allowed myself to drift back to sleep. When I awoke the next morning, I was somewhat surprised to find that Kali was no longer behind me. Instead, I could hear her humming lightly to herself from downstairs. Curious, I got up and went down to the source of the noise, finding her in the kitchen. She was smiling happily to herself, humming as she controlled a flame to burn under a stone cauldron. I could see her fingers dancing as she lost herself to the music while slowly preparing breakfast. From the look and the smell, she seemed to be making a large pot of stew. "Good morning," I called out, causing her to jump slightly. The flame beneath the cauldron soared for a moment, until she was able to control it, after which she turned back to look at me.
Good morning. Breakfast will be ready soon. I spoke to the receptionist, and he said that a druid will be here soon. Until then, I thought I'd make enough for everyone, she said with an innocent smile, before turning back to her work.
Chapter 8. While we ate, I began putting the pieces together in my mind once again about our target, trying to understand more about what he could do. We hadn't been able to receive any new information, and any other hunters are probably too far behind us by now to wait for them. All that we could do at this point was to press on alone. Roughly halfway through the meal, a young man wearing red silk robes entered the guild hall and was invited to join us. Just a glance was enough to tell that he was the druid we had been waiting for. After all, on his wrist was a silvery band that absolutely radiated world energy, no doubt being his token.
"You two are heading to Chesek?" the man asked as he gathered himself a bowl of the stew.
"That's right," Kali nodded, clearly used to being the voice of the group. It was nice to see that she was gradually starting to fall back into her old habits. "Why, have you heard anything?"
"I paid a visit less than a week ago," he answered. "If possible, I suggest avoiding the city as much as you can, especially people like the two of you."
He glanced up towards us. "Why is that?" I couldn't help but ask, looking over towards him.
"The Pinnacle Plague," he said simply, taking a sip of his stew. Yet those two words sent a shudder through myself and Kali. The Pinnacle Plague was a disease that had begun to crop up only in the last few decades, but wherever it went, the strong fell powerless. For most people, the plague was no worse than a winter's fever, leaving them in bed for a few days. For children, it sometimes ended with little more than a sniffle. However, for those like myself and Kali and the Mad Monk, it was a nightmare. The stronger one was, the stronger the disease became. Warriors had their flesh rot until it fell from their bones. Wizards would collapse, their brains leaking out of their ears. For this reason, any area that had shown signs of the plague would be uninhabitable to those who had reached the pinnacle.
Do you have any gate locations close to the city?
We really do need to head in that direction urgently, and we've already lost several hours of our trip. Kali spoke, still shuddering at the thought of the plague. The druid chuckled lightly.
"I had a feeling that might be the case. You hunters always have an urgent reason to be somewhere. I just needed to make sure that Chesek was your destination, and not a city beyond it. Otherwise I could have saved you the time and sent you directly there."
I shook my head in response. "No, our target should be on his way to Chesek now. I'd like to just think that he would die of the plague, but there is always the risk he will avoid contact with the infected, or even change directions to avoid the affected area altogether with a new destination."
"That's true,"
the man nodded, still having a small smile on his face.
"I placed a gate a short walk outside of the city when I was there. And don't worry, I already saw an alchemist, and he confirmed that I was not infected."
Kali let out a sigh of relief as she heard that, her shoulders visibly relaxing.
"Thank you," she whispered, either to the druid or to Vehenna, nobody knew. "Has the word of the plague spread yet?"
The druid shook his head. "No, the entire city was locked down when the leader of the guards collapsed. His bones all but dissolved within him. I only heard about it from the receptionist there, who had been lucky to have been weak. Still, I can only imagine the scene."
"Good," I smiled slightly, relieved that the news hadn't spread. "If people don't know for now, then the Mad Monk won't change his course. You said this happened less than a week ago. That means that the local guilds should have already sent word out. If it were a few days earlier, the traffic leading to the city would have already been stopped. Naturally, it was regrettable what had happened to the guard captain and the other pinnacles in the city. However, this was neither our home nor our job. They were not our people, and could easily declare war on our countries in the future. It was useless to weep for all the atrocities in the world." Kali nodded her head slightly, though her expression was less bright than my own. "We'll need to leave as soon as you are able to send us out." I turned to face the druid, who nodded his head.
"I had a feeling that someone might need to head to one of those cities without actually arriving at the guild eventually. We'll have to head a bit outside of town first, though.
Saying that, he couldn't help but shake his head. The only way to set up the alternate portal was to do so between two trees. There weren't any other close bodies of water outside of the city. Kali and I both nodded at this, accepting what he offered. It was common knowledge among any who trained as a druid that a shared medium